Welcome back. It's good to worship with you as Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. We're one church together, whether we're online or we're in person here. So we want to welcome you. Let me say a word of prayer, and we'll be getting into Romans chapter 12. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we, as we just sang, it is your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out our praise. Lord, it is the only reasonable thing to do in light of your mercy upon us, in light of saving us, redeeming us, sinners, and making us worthy, making us sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, we want to be people who live whole life worship back to you in full surrender to who you are and what it is that you've done and your calling, your will in our lives. Help us to learn how to do that more deeply today. God, we also come with heavy hearts. We come with confused hearts, some of us angry, frustrated, Lord. But wherever we are, we grieve. We all grieve together as we saw what took place in our nation's capital this week, Lord. We grieve the brazen disregard of authority throughout our country, but particularly in a place that should be honored, like our capital. Lord, we grieve the destruction and the trauma that was experienced. We grieve that the name of Jesus and the sacred word was defiled by some who do not represent him, then his word, do not represent the love of Jesus Christ or his people. And so we grieve, but we also ask, Lord, that you would bring justice. Would you expose what is true and what is false? Would you, Lord, deal with those who stir up hatred and strife? We ask, Lord, that in your judgment that you would also not forget mercy. Lord, bring healing to our nation, to our state. Bring it into our lives, in our church, in our family. Anywhere where there's distrust and discord, would you replace it with harmony and unity and peace? And Lord, I pray for us as a church. I pray that we would be your ambassadors. We would abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. We would be peacemakers. I pray that we would live peaceful and quiet lives and honorable lives because we do not want to be a stumbling block before those who do not know you. I pray that we would demonstrate humility and respect toward all people because we know we were once lost and deserving God's judgment too. And may we put our ultimate hope in Christ, not in a political office, not in leaders, because only you can bring lasting change, which we all long for as we pray for your kingdom to come. And until such a time where you come again, Lord, we ask out of your mercy that you would bless America. Cause our government to be marked by justice and equity, for our people of our nation to be marked by peace and freedom. And Lord, we ask that you would shine your light through us so people would know who you are. Now, Lord, as we open your word, as we discern better who we are in light of our calling, Lord, may we love one another deeply and fulfill the law of Christ. Open our hearts and our minds to be able to receive your word and be transformed, be changed, be different because we sat under its teaching, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, good to be with you. Again, we are in Romans chapter 12. We've been walking through the book of Romans. We're here in chapter 12, and so you can turn to verses 3 through 8, which we'll be studying today in a message I've entitled, Let's Be the Body. Now, let me ask you a question as we get started. Have you ever been part of a healthy, phenomenal team? Just a team that is amazing, that is just running on all cylinders, working in harmony with one another. Maybe it's a sports team where you guys came together and you had an amazing season that culminated in a victory. Maybe it's a work project where your team just, you excelled all the metrics and all the you crushed your goals together. You just worked so well together. Maybe it was an orchestra, a band that when you come together, you just make incredibly beautiful music together. Maybe it was your squad in Call of Duty and you just dominate all those other people online. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry, the analogy's not for you. All of those teams have some things in common. Great teams have some things in common. For one, they know and they believe in the mission. They know why they're there. Secondly, everyone on that team knows that they have a role to play and are serving the team for its greater good. Thirdly, the whole impact of the team is far greater than any one individual part. It's greater than the sum of its parts. And it feels great to be a part of a team like that, doesn't it? You don't want a team like that to end. But unfortunately, I wonder if any of you have been part of a dysfunctional team. Haven't been part of a dysfunctional team? There's probably a lot more dysfunctional teams. There are phenomenal teams. Unfortunately, we've been a part of those, and those teams have some things in common too, don't they? Dysfunctional teams often don't know or maybe don't agree or believe in the mission. They don't have a why behind the what and the how that they do. Teams like that, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Or maybe too many people are trying to do the same thing, and so nothing gets done. Or a few people are working really hard. Meanwhile, the rest of them are just kind of sitting on the sidelines getting the paycheck, right? You've been a part of a team like that, and a team like that is often dominated not by service of the greater good, but rather selfishness. What do I get out of this? I want to be first. I want the ball. I want the fame. Right? I want the money, the accolades. And teams like that, dysfunctional teams, we can't wait to get off a team like that. We can't wait to get transferred. We can't wait till the season's over or whatever it is. Nobody wants to be part of a dysfunctional team. Now, here's the thing. You know, what Paul just said in Romans 12, 1 and 2 is that we worship God. We are on Team God. And do you know what it means when we become part of Team God? We become part of a larger team called Team Church. Christians are thrust into a team. Christianity is a team sport. No one does it individually. We all work together as a team. Put it another way, our salvation day was also our draft day. You were drafted to be part of a team. And what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus designed his church to function like a great team, a healthy, phenomenal team on the same mission. What is our mission? To make disciples. Or as we put our mission, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and help them follow him. That is our mission that he calls us to. Everybody is working together in the roles that they're gifted to do, to serve the greater good, and whose impact is greater as a whole than the sum of its individual parts. That is a team that God has called us to be a part of. And we can either be a phenomenal, healthy team, or we can be a dysfunctional team. So the questions that we're going to be asking is, what kind of team are we, Brandywine? And what kind of teammate are you? Because there's a lot on the line, isn't there? It matters. There's people on the line. There's people who need Christ. There's people who need help. We have a community outside these doors to serve. And let me remind you that we have a heritage of faith to pass on to the next generation and the generation after that. There is a lot at stake. And so, friends, we want to be the healthiest team that we can be. Paul is going to show us how to do that. And the way that we do that is by each and every one of us being a great teammate. We're going to learn how to be a great teammate from this passage. Look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as One, each of us is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all others. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy. If it is in accordance to your faith, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, be generous, do so generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here in our text today, we're going to see four keys to becoming a great teammate in the body of Christ, in the church, to accomplish our goal. And the key to each of these we're going to see is service, presenting yourself as a servant. So let's look at the first one. Serve humbly. Serve humbly. Look at what Paul says, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Now, the key word here, the key phrase is sober judgment. You know what this phrase means is to see yourself accurately, to see yourself clearly. You know, almost everybody in Western culture has a self-image that is based on two things. What we might call OPO and MOA. You know what those stand for? OPO, other people's opinions, and MOA, my own achievement. That's what we base our self-image on. And if those are really good, we've had a lot of people tell us we're amazing and we're wonderful snowflakes and we're, you know, incredible people and you've achieved a lot. Guess what? We think of ourselves very highly, right? We're amazing. We're awesome. We've got it together. You're so lucky to have me as part of your team. We have a high view of ourselves. But if we've been nurtured in an environment where we've been spoken critically of, we've been told we're not going to amount to anything, if we've messed up, we feel like we haven't achieved much, you might feel like a failure, you might feel like a loser, you might feel like, man, I don't have anything to offer. I'm worthless. And that's how our society kind of functions, either too high or too low. Here's the interesting thing. In Christ, as Christians, we have access to a completely different system, a different self-image because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ thrusts us into a different view, not too high, not too low, but that like that third little bear, just right, just right. And how so? Well, think about it like this. On one hand, we were so needy. The Bible tells us we are so helpless. We are so broken and dysfunctional in and of ourselves that God had to do something about it. God saved us entirely as an act of sheer grace. We didn't earn it. There was nothing we could do to earn it. And we were saved by his power, not our own power. And we are saved by Jesus Christ, not ourselves. His work on the cross for us, something we could never accomplish. And so, because of that, Paul says we shouldn't think of ourselves too highly. Let's put us in our, you know, rightly, think rightly about ourselves because of that. On the other hand now, we shouldn't think of ourselves too lowly. Why? Because the gospel, the Bible tells us, do you know that you are made in the image of God? You are highly valued. He loves you. He made you with the ability, with the potential of bringing him amazing glory. He has gifted you with incredible things. Every single person can make an impact. He considered you, think about this, he considered you so worthy, so beloved, that he sent Jesus to die for you. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship, and a beautiful word that means we are his work of art. We are his handcrafted masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so this is who we are. Or as Pastor Tim Keller says, and I love to quote this because it's such a great quote, the gospel is this, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. And yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. This, friends, flattens out the curve. This makes us all equal at the foot of the cross, and that has great implications in how we serve one another, doesn't it? In the body of Christ, the gospel is the great org chart equalizer. There's no org chart. It kind of flattens everything because everyone, as we say, we have a saying here at Brandywine, everyone's a doctor and everyone's a patient. Do you know that? Everyone's a doctor and everyone's a patient. Everybody has something to give and everybody has something to receive. And that includes me, your pastor. And in fact, just this past week, I called a woman from church whose granddaughter was having a hard time. Just wanted to pray for her. And so I was praying for her. And she says at the end of the conversation, "Pastor, what's going on with you? How can I pray for you? How's your family doing?" You know, if you don't know, we suffered a loss in November. My wife's father died from cancer. And so we've just been grieving. The holidays have been tough. And she knew that. She spoke a simple but profound word of encouragement, something I needed to hear in that moment to me. And I said to her, thank you so much for sharing that. That is exactly the word I needed to hear right now. You ministered so well to me. Thank you for doing that. Do you know that woman, this dear woman, she doesn't have like an official role here at the church. She doesn't have like a degree in theology or anything. But can I tell you something? She had a PhD that morning. She was a doctor. And I was a needy patient. And I was able to receive from her something that the Lord needed to give to me. That is how the body of Christ works. We serve in what we call every member ministry. There's no bench warmers in the body of Christ. We all have something to give and receive. So serve humbly. Second, you want to be a great teammate here in the body of Christ. Serve harmoniously. Look at what Paul says, verse 4 and 5. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others." Okay, so the body analogy is a familiar analogy, is a familiar image for the Apostle Paul. He uses it in a variety of places, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, for example. And he loves to use this, I think, because it's so obvious, it's so self-evident of how the body functions, right? Our body demonstrates one of our church's core values, unity in diversity. All the parts have unique functions, which we'll talk about in a second, but they accomplish one harmonious purpose, one purpose in unity, which is for the good of the body. Now, let's put this into practice for a second, okay? Whether you're watching online right now, you can do this from home. If you're driving and you're listening to this, don't do what I'm asking you to do, but can everybody put your hands in the air? Okay, put your hands in the air. Okay, everybody, see your hands in the air. For some of you, this is the most charismatic you've ever been in church. Put your hands in the air. Now, wave them around like you just don't care, all right? Hey-o. Okay, good. Yep, you look silly. It's okay. All right, put them down. All right, now, let me ask you a question. What part of your body was responsible for that action that you just did? You say, "Well, my hands, right? I was waving around like I just didn't care. It was my hands." You say, "Well, no, hold on, but my arms had to do that. My hands don't like just float around as independent, you know, organs. My shoulders and my arms had to be a part of that." You say, "Well, wait, hold on, but my brain had to send the signals to my shoulders and my hands to do the things that you were asking to do. But if I didn't have my ears, I wouldn't have been able to hear the command to do the very thing that you were asking to do." And the more you go down that path, guess what? The more you find out that there's dozens and dozens, hundreds, thousands. I'm not like a biologist. I don't really understand how this works. But I'm sure there's like thousands of parts of our bodies, big and small, things that you can see and things that you can't see, that are all working together to accomplish this one little task. And this is the image, the beautiful, amazing image that Paul gives, that God gives to the body of Christ. This is how we are to function together in harmony as each does its work. And you know what the goal is? The goal of the church is not to wave our hands like we just don't care, but the goal, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, in another section he talks about the body, he says this, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The goal is growth. The goal is maturity, to become more like Christ in order to accomplish the mission God has given us to make disciples. And so, this is the function of the body. We're emphasizing here unity. Do you feel like you're some individual out there, isolated, disconnected? Friend, get in the game. Get into the body. You have a role to play. It's in harmony together. Now let's emphasize the other part of this, which is diversity. Not just unity, but diversity. So thirdly, you want to be a great teammate here in the body of Christ. Serve uniquely. Serve uniquely. He continues, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And then he continues, talks about serving, teaching, encouraging, and so forth. All these different parts working in conjunction. Now, we call these in kind of church speak, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. There's four texts in the New Testament that primarily give us a kind of an understanding of what spiritual gifts are. We're not going to go into a deep dive on it. I'm going to do a little crash course on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts 101, okay? So here we go. Let's talk about what spiritual gifts are. Here's a little summary. First of all, spiritual gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity is actually the one responsible for doling out, for disseminating the spiritual gifts within the church into each individual. Secondly, gifts are, here's like a little definition, particular spiritual abilities, their purpose is to serve others, okay? Let's break this down. They're spiritual abilities. They're not merely talents, right? You might have a great talent in something. It's not necessarily a spiritual gift. You could have somebody who's an incredible musician, a singer, plays piano, whatever it is. But maybe when they exercise their talent, it doesn't have a spiritual impact. You could have somebody else that might be gifted musically or in ministering the word through music, and they could even have less talent than that other person. But when they sing, when they play, when they perform, oh my goodness, it impacts you. It ministers to you spiritually because it is a spiritual ability, not merely a talent. We also find out from this section is that their purpose is not so that people think you're awesome. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit didn't give you a gift so that people would say, you're amazing, you're awesome, oh my goodness. No, but rather that gift was given to you to minister to others, to serve others. To put it another way, when the Holy Spirit gives out gifts, he intends for you to re-gift them, to give them out to other people, not to use on yourself. And that is the purpose for the gifts. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. We find that out here, right here in Romans 12:6, where it says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Every single believer has a spiritual gift. And what that means here is that there's no such thing as unemployment in the body of Christ. We strive for 100% spiritual employment. Everybody is using their gifts. There's nobody who just comes and sits and soaks. Everybody's intended to wring it out in ministry, to pour out in ministry to others. There's no bench warmers. Everybody is in the game in the church. The next thing that we learn from spiritual gifts is that there's different gifts for different people, different strokes for different folks, as they might say. And we see this here in Romans 12:6 again, where it says each of our gifts are different, right? Did you know that Every single human being has a unique heartbeat. Did you know that? There are no two people on the planet or have ever existed, as far as science can tell, that have the exact same heartbeat. Isn't that amazing? We often think about that as like fingerprints, but our heartbeats, our hearts beat a little bit differently from one another. In fact, of course, software companies are figuring out how to use your heartbeat as a new biometric authenticator. Isn't that kind of cool? So prepare to see that in the next James Bond movie or the next Mission Impossible, or maybe on your iPhone, the next one that comes out. I don't know. But spiritually speaking, it's the same thing that's true. Do you know that you have a unique spiritual heartbeat? God has gifted you. He's given you passions and aptitudes and experiences that make you a little bit different from everyone else for his purpose, to use you in incredible ways for his unique design. You're designed different for a purpose. And I love that because, you know, I don't know if you know this, some of you are kind of quirky, a little strange. You know, that's on purpose. And that's okay, because I am too. Just ask my wife and kids. They are different gifts for different people. The next thing I want you to know about gifts is that there's three categories. These are my categories, not necessarily scriptures, but generally you can see this being the case. Three sort of categories of spiritual gifts. We might say speaking gifts, leadership gifts, and then support gifts, at least these three categories that we can see right here in this list in Romans chapter 12. Now, this isn't the only list, but let's just walk through this particular list to understand more about what they are. The first one Paul mentions is prophesying. And this word in Scripture is used two ways. Prophesying is either foretelling, that is, speaking on behalf of God to people or a group of people, often about the future, a prophetic word from the Lord. The other one is what we might call forthtelling. It is preaching or speaking out of the word of God into the lives of other people. Sometimes that could be an individual word of the Lord that God kind of gives you, you sense it in order, and he says, yeah, go, he whispers, go tell that to that other person. They need to hear that, okay? So foretelling, forthtelling are at least the two ideas that are given in Scripture about prophesying. Now, some churches take very strong stances on whether the gift of prophecy and other, what some people might call sign gifts, are still in existence today, or if those gifts are no longer normative or regularly to be used because we have the finished Scripture, what's called the canon of Scripture, okay? I'll just say we have people in this church that come from traditional backgrounds like Reformed backgrounds or Baptist backgrounds, Presbyterian backgrounds. We have people in this church that come from more charismatic backgrounds, Pentecostal backgrounds, and a little bit of everything, and that's okay. We love everyone. We all want you to be a part of this church. There's room for you here. We don't take a theological stance on that issue. There's room for your own convictions in that area. But I will say this, if you believe that you have the gift of prophecy, okay, if you believe you have the gift of prophecy, there's two things I want you to know. Number one, that gift must always be used in submission to and in conjunction with the Word of God. In submission to and in conjunction with the Word of God. And so if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I think I have the gift of prophecy, and I think God has given me a word for you, always test that word from the Word of God. Don't just blindly accept it and do whatever they say. Test it by the Word of God. And remember, you have the Holy Spirit too, okay? Secondly, that if you are using that gift, always exercise it in humility. What I mean by that is your words do not carry the same weight as Scripture or the prophets of the Old Testament, because if they did, we'd need to, you know, do a next chapter, right? The chapter of, you know, Susie or Bob or whoever that person is. Thus says the word of the Lord. I'm not adding to this. I don't know about you, okay? So keep that in mind as we exercise, as you might consider exercising that gift. That's prophecy. There's a lot more we could say about that, but that's sufficient for now. The next one he talks about is the gift of serving. This is the word diakona, is where we get the Greek word or the English word deacon, right? Deacons in the church. The word just means a servant. It's somebody who loves to serve. Here's a deacon, here's a servant, somebody who says, hey, what needs to be done? I'll go do it. It's a Swiss Army knife of the church. It's a jack of all trades. I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to get my hands dirty. Just tell me what you need to get done, and I'll go figure it out. That's a deacon. That is the serving role, the gift of service in Scripture. The next one is teaching. Pretty straightforward here. Expounding, particularly in this context, expounding the Word of God to make it clear so that people can understand it, not just understand it, but discern how to apply it in their lives. This is the gift of teaching. The next one is encouraging. Paul talks about encouraging. Those who have the gift of encouraging are skilled, and they love to use the Word of God to put wind in other people's sails. Do you know encouragers in your life? Oh, man, friends, I hope you have some encouragers in your life. If you don't have any encouragers in your life, come and talk to me, because I know a bunch of them, all right? Encouragers are so important in the body of Christ. They can often see people that are down, people that are hurting, people that might need a word because they're just discouraged, and they just know just the right word at the right time, just lift their sails, right? Put wind in their sails. That's the gift of encouragement. The next one is giving. Those who love to share what they have with others. It doesn't mean you have to be rich in order to have this gift. In fact, you could be destitute and have the gift of giving, because it's whatever you have, whether it's money or resources or your time or your connections, you love to put those into action in other people's lives. The next gift he talks about is the gift of leading. Those with the gift of leading have the ability to be decisive. They have the ability to oversee a system and people with a level of clarity and care and organization. They can often be the first to see what could be. This is the gift of leading. And then the last gift that he mentions here in this list is the gift of mercy. And boy, do we need a lot of people with the gift of mercy in the church, don't we? Mercy are those who have a heartbeat to care for those that are broken or in need. They need to be shown mercy. These are just the gifts, a quick crash course in the gifts that we see here in this list. And you can see how those categories of speaking, leading, and supporting kind of work their way out through that list, right? Whether these gifts are used up front in public or these gifts are behind the scenes that no one sees, they're all absolutely critical. My microphone might be turned on, but if that wasn't turned on, if the PowerPoint wasn't working, if the lights aren't on, if there's not people to clean the pews and the bathroom and open the doors, man, friends, none of this works, right? Thank God for those that do those work. Those that are watching online, there are people that work diligently to make that happen so that you can be a part of the service as well. We thank God for the people who are really gifted in being able to give and financially help the work of the Lord here, but also for those who run the budget behind the scenes and make sure, you know, all their T's and I's are crossed and dotted so that we don't get, when we get audited, we don't get ourselves in trouble, right? We thank God for those people. And we thank God for the people who lead out front in ministries and the people who behind the scenes write notes of encouragement and send little gifts and help people who are in the hospital, make phone calls that no one else might even know about. This is how the church works together using the gifts. Last thing I'll say about spiritual gifts, there's no exhaustive list. I don't believe you can find all of them. I don't think we have them all named in Scripture, and I think that's intentional. I think every church in every location, every time, has the gifts that God intends that church to have to accomplish its unique mission in its particular location. So, little crash course about gifts. So, just a little recap so far. You want to be a great teammate in the body of Christ, in the church. Serve humbly. Serve harmoniously. Serve uniquely, according to the way God's gifted you. Fourthly, and finally, serve faithfully. Paul says to serve in accordance with your faith, according to the measure of your faith. In other words, these gifts are not automatic. It's not, you don't just have one and so it just happens. Guess what you have to do? You have to exercise those gifts. Do you notice Paul said that? If giving, for example, then do it generously. If leading, do it diligently. You actually have to put them into practice. You know the old question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? How many of you think it makes a sound? How many of you say it doesn't make a sound? We could debate. You want to just spend the rest of our time arguing over that? No, I'm just kidding. You could kind of talk about that in philosophy class, and maybe you've done so before. But let me ask you another question. If somebody has a gift, but they never exercise it, does it make a sound? Does it have an impact? The answer is much easier. The answer is no. You might have a gift, but if you're not using it, what's the point? Your gifts are a stewardship, and you are accountable to God with how you exercise that gift. And not only must we exercise our gifts, you know, Scripture tells us that our gifts can be developed, can be used for greater impact. We can develop our gifts for greater effectiveness. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul tells a young Timothy to fan into flame the gifts that have been given to him. Fan it into flame. It's the image of bellows, you know, go into the fire so that it gets bigger and bigger, brighter and brighter. That's the image here. Pour some igniter fluid on that thing. Keep it going. Bolster it. If you have a gift of leadership, read books, get practice, go lead, get mentors, go to seminars. If you have the gift of mercy, place yourself in context where people can use that gift. Learn how to exercise it with wisdom so you don't burn out and so you can keep boundaries. Exercise and develop those spiritual gifts. And the last thing I'll say about spiritual gifts in this context, Jesus said that those who are faithful with little will be given more. You feel like, I just have this little gift. I mean, it's just this little role. You be faithful with that. Don't have gift envy. Don't look at the person that has, oh my goodness, their gift seems so great. You focus on the one you have. God will expand your influence with that gift. Because the opposite is also true. God could gift you with a big gift, but you don't use it. Scripture says even that will be taken away from you. And so let's exercise with accountability the gift that God has given us. Four keys to becoming a great teammate. It's all about service. Humbly, harmoniously, uniquely, and lastly, faithfully. Now, some of us know what our spiritual gifts are. Some of us have no clue. This is maybe the first time you've even heard about having such a thing. So you might say, well, how do I discern what my spiritual gifts are? Some of you have taken inventories. Some of you, you know, have your gifts on your nameplate at your office. And the rest of us are like, man, this is really a big question mark for me. So let me give you just a practical way to discern your spiritual gifts. So this isn't in the Bible. This is just Nate's, okay? So take it for what it is. Use a Venn diagram of these three things coming together: ability, affinity, and affirmation. And likely, in the middle there will be the sweet spot. You'll probably discern a spiritual gift there. What do I mean by these words? Ability. What are you good at? What can you do with more ease and speed than most other people can do? That's ability. Secondly, affinity. What are you passionate about? What needs are you drawn to? Where do you come alive? Maybe to say it more critically, what bothers you about things that are being done around the church or not being done around the church? What bothers you? Hey, here's an idea. Maybe instead of complaining about it, maybe God's saying, go do something. Get involved over there if you have a passion about it, if it makes you crazy when that's not happening. That's affinity. And then affirmation. Where do people tell you that God is using you most? What are the things that you are able to do where other people say, wow, man, that was really helpful. That you're really good at that. Do you know that? That really served me well. A small group is a great place to test this out, to be able to discern, because you get to know people and you say, that is a gift. And you might think you have a gift and somebody else is like, probably not. All right, then try something else, okay? This is how it works. Ability, affinity, and affirmation. Helpful little tool, maybe for you. But even, okay, this is kind of technical, right? Venn diagrams and everything. Here, at the end of the day, just do something, okay? Just get active. Get serving. Start finding places and needs and start working because God loves to move a steering ship. The other way around. He loves to steer a moving ship. Okay, so just get going and then he'll show you where you're good and where you're not so good. He'll direct you into the right place. You trust him for that, okay? So get out of your mama's basement and stop waiting. Not like actually technically. I didn't mean to offend anyone. If you're in your mom's basement, I'd spend some time in my mom's basement. All right, anyway, never mind. Just get out and start doing something. Get myself in trouble here with some young people today. All right, so here are two very practical things that you can do coming out of this message. One, if you're not serving in a place and you're not sure where to serve, you can fill out that Connect card. Remember we talked about that? You can go right to our website, brandywine.church, fill it out, or you can go to this URL, and you can just let us know, hey, here's some ways that I'm gifted. Or you might say, hey, I just tell me what to do, and I'll go do it, right? And we'll help you in that path. That's one thing you can do. Secondly, maybe you're newer here, you're not a member, you're active here in the church, but you just haven't made that official step of membership. We want you to partner with us. So I'd love for you to come to our membership class coming up. Remember, we talked about it. Pastor Matthew talked about it. It's coming up next Sunday, 9 a.m. You can watch also on Zoom. So even if you're not coming here to the building, you can watch on Zoom as well and be a part of that class because we'll talk about who we are as a church. We'll talk about ways to serve in the church. We'll help you figure out better how to get connected and get engaged in ministry here in the local church. So I hope you'll come and be a part of that. Every member doing the work so that we can accomplish the mission of making disciples. Speaking of which, you know, one of the things that, as we think about the team that God has given us here in the church, one of the ways that we want to become better as a team is to be focusing on shepherding, focusing on caring for our church. You know, this is a big church. We've got well over 1,000 people that call this place their church home. And we have few shepherds in place, few people that are kind of set up in roles to be able to care for the church. And you know what that means? There's a lot of people that can easily slip through the cracks who feel like maybe no one knows their name. No one knows who they are, even that they attend or that they have troubles or worries or concerns, especially during a time of pandemic. Oh my goodness, many people haven't even been back to the church yet. And so we know that this is an area of where we are susceptible, that we want to bolster this area. And we're doing that in two ways. One, which has already been happening and is continuing to grow in our ministry. And another that's brand new. And there's lots of ways that we're doing this, but two that we want to recognize here this morning. The first one is called our Come Alongside Ministry, which Jane Erickson Helm leads, and she does an amazing job. It's a team of men and women who are uniquely fit to be able to serve, to come alongside of people that are going through particular pain, times of grief, times of trouble. They are trained using something called Stephen Ministry, an incredible training program that they've been through, to be able to walk with those folks as they're going through that hard time. That's part of our shepherding, our care ministry. The other one is a brand new one. It's called our Shepherds Couples, our Shepherds Team. And these shepherds are a team of people that are going to come alongside of our pastors and be able to serve by praying for our congregation, reaching out, getting to know our congregation, finding out where they are so that all of our members and also many of those who attend here know that they're being cared for and know who they can reach out to as part of a lay shepherd team. So we have today both shepherd couples, shepherd individuals, as well as members of our Come Alongside team that are here today. Also, many that aren't able to make it here, but they're watching online, and we have their pictures up here on the screen. So if you're part of that team, can you come front? Either of those teams, come on down, and you can make your way down here to the floor. Some of you can stand here on the steps, and you do a really good job social distancing for yourself, so I'm sure you'll do that as well. And can you recognize these teams as they're coming up? Thank you. I want you to just see their faces, or at least part of their faces. And I want you to recognize that these on the screen, as well as those that are down front, are here to serve you. They're gifted to do so. They've answered that call, and they are going to be deployed to be able to serve you in those ways so that we can be an even more phenomenal team to accomplish the vision God has given us. Let me say a word of prayer. I want to commission them for the ministry that God has given them. So let's do that together. We thank you, Father, that you have enabled your body, the body of Christ, to function as a team. We thank you, Jesus, for securing these gifts by coming down and dying for our sins so that you could be the one who gives gifts to your body. And we thank the Holy Spirit who has disseminated and distributed each of the gifts to each one as he sees fit. Lord, we want to thank you for those that are a part of the Come Alongside team who have gone through the training, and those that are part of the shepherd's team. And Lord, would you develop the heart of compassion and leadership and shepherding in each one of these individuals up here. Lord, show them the ways that you want them to use their gifts in ministry. Show them the ways that you have called them in this role for this season of ministry in our church. And Lord, may we be responsive to them, able to allow them to be doctors in our lives at various times. And so, Lord, as you've equipped them, now use them, deploy them in the work of the ministry so that we can introduce people to Jesus Christ and help them follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.